All right. Aren't you glad we have some talented worship leaders in our church? I'm sure that the majority of you come to church every Sunday for the preaching. That was wimpy, but probably truthful. But I know there's a great number of us that look forward to the worship each week. And to those on this team and those on our other one, for all of you that help in that and use your gifts, thank you. Before I jump in, I'm going to be at Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. But before I jump in, I got to do a little housework. Last Sunday, there are times, if you ever have been a public speaker or done much public speaking, there are times when you say something that you can just tell that either you said it wrong or they didn't grasp what you said. And last week, I could tell from the expression on some of your faces that I had said something wrong. Now, sometimes when I say it wrong, I know that it just didn't come out in my mouth the way that it was in my brain. It didn't come out right or whatever, or I get it backwards. But last week, Drew was giving me a hard time after it was all over. He said, I'm going to make a meme of you. Now, I had a castle from Harry Potter last week that was a Lego. Some of you, how many of you know where I'm going already? Wow, there's that many of you. There was about that many funny expressions last week when I said it was a warthog castle. It's not the warthog castle, it's the Hogwarts castle. But you can totally understand it. I just got it confused with one of my other Disney movies, with Pumbaa. I thought all movies needed to have warthogs in them, and I figured, hey, Harry Potter, as popular as it is, must have warthogs in it. But I saw some great expressions from some of you this week. Where's Rain? There he is. Now, I got to tell you, of everybody's face in the whole place last week, yours is the one that I'm like, well, okay, I said something wrong. I knew you caught it, didn't you? As soon as I said it, like immediately you thought, he don't know squat about Harry Potter. It's not Disney either. Wow. Ephesians chapter 4. I tell you what, I am thankful that we have a church like we have. I would tell you up front, I think that we ought to have fun everywhere we go. But there ought to be nowhere that we have more fun than in the house of the Lord. And so I'm glad to have each one of you here this morning. But it's been fun. I've had several who have harassed me this week about the Hogwarts castle. Drew on multiple occasions this week. And so if you didn't get to harass me and you caught it last week, it's okay. Drew made up for you. Don't worry about it. But anyway, we talked about last week kicking off a new sermon series entitled One Another, the fact that there are 59 different places in the Scriptures where the Scriptures say something about one another, how we are to relate to one another and things that we're supposed to do with one another. Now, I got to tell you, I'm a music guy. I haven't always been a music guy. When I was younger, I remember thinking, why do people listen to music in their car all the time? I had an older brother that's very much a music guy. He has all his CDs cataloged in his house. He has a little closet for all of them. I think before CDs kind of went out the way and we went to digital music, he was somewhere in the 5,000 range, and he had them all categorized just like at the library. That I never bought CDs. I just borrowed CDs, and I could always go to him. But I got to tell you, as I look back over, I have several different kinds of music that I like to listen to and several different people who are my favorites. But if I was going to pick out just one, if you were going to pin me down and go, Randy, who is your favorite? You can only listen to one guy from now on. I would tell you that guy is Huey Lewis in the News. How many of you know Huey Lewis in the News? My people, right there. All right? And so I am a Huey Lewis and the News fan, and he has a song that I know this is kind of unusual, and we wouldn't normally do this in church, but I just wanted you to hear a song this morning because I think it related perfectly well to our sermon. So I got a song for a video for you to see from the 80s and MTV, and some words up here that go along with it. Just a couple of minutes. You gotta love those 80s styles, huh?
Out
some people take. Now catch this verse too. Now we can find one another like we do on TV. Or we can help one another the way it's supposed to be. If we all get a little, we can really be alive. Now, how many of you had a hairdo like that? Yeah, all of you Huey Lewis people just went secret on me right there. I tell you what, the music of the 80s is special music. I think it's one that will be, the 80s music will be one that will be popular from now on. Probably not the hairstyles nor the clothes. By the way, if you still dress like that, talk to me after the service. I'll see if we can hook you up somewhere to help you out. But, you know, they make a line in there, and there are several lines in there that I think are so great. But when you start out the second verse, he says, now we can fight one another like they do on TV, or we can help one another the way it's supposed to be. If we all give a little, it really means a lot. It's a small, small world, but it's the only one we got. It's the only one we got. And I'm going to tell you what's smaller than our world is our city. What's smaller than our world is our town. What's smaller than our world is our village where we live. It's a pretty small place. If you graduated from Medill High School, stand up. Now stay standing. If you graduated from one of the other area high schools within 15 miles of here, stand up. If you have lived in Medill for more than 25 years, stand up. Now, here's what I want you to know before you're seated, and for all of you that are still seated. When we live, this many of us, in close proximity for that long, it's inevitable that we'll offend each other. We will frustrate each other. Look at the numbers of us that have been here for 25 plus years or since we were kids. Some of you here have lived here your whole lives. You just hadn't made it to 25 and you hadn't made it to high school graduation, but you don't know anywhere else. Thank you. You can be seated. Do you remember when you were a kid and you'd go spend the night with one of your buddies? Oh, I used to love to go spend the night with one of my buddies. And it seemed like how many times we would go spend the night with one another. My mom, she kind of figured it out. I think she just knew it. But I was amazed. And then once I got a little older, then I began to understand it. But do you remember when you would go spend that first night with your friend at his house or at her house? And you just would have a great time playing, doing whatever. Get up the next morning, play all day long, and then it was time for you to go home. And you'd always come up with this plan that says, okay, now you come spend a night at my house. And then they would come over to your house, and you'd stay all the rest of the evening and that night, and at some point, things would not go as well on night two as they did on night one. Do you remember that? At some point, you just kind of get enough of each other, even though you're best buddies. I think that's true for us as people. When we spend our lives in such close proximity, when we see each other everywhere we go, the people who are at the restaurant you see them are the same people you see at Walmart, are the same people you see at school, are the same people you see at the ball game, are the same people you see at the pig show, are the same people you go to church with, and the same people you sit in Sunday school class with. Close proximity. We studied even on Wednesday night that Paul and Barnabas, two of the great people in all of the scriptures, one of whom is called the encourager, even they split up because they had a disagreement. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 says this, "Therefore I say this and testify in the Lord, you should no longer walk as the Gentiles walk in the futility of their thoughts. They are darkened in their understanding and excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them and because of the hardness of their heart. They became callous and gave themselves over to the promiscuity for the practice of every kind of impurity with a desire for more and more. But that is not how you learned about the Messiah. Assuming you heard about him and were taught by him because the truth is in Jesus. You took off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by evil desires, and you're being renewed in the spirit of your minds, and you put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness, in righteousness and purity of truth. Since you put away lying, speak the truth, each one to his neighbors, because we are members of one another, and be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, and don't give the devil an opportunity. Verse 28, the thief must no longer steal. Instead, he must do honest work with his own hands so that he has something to share with anyone in need. No foul language is to come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need so that it gives grace to those who hear. Verse 30, and don't grieve the Holy Spirit. You were sealed by him for the day of redemption. All bitterness, anger and wrath, shouting and slander must be removed from you, along with all malice. Verse 32, and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. Wow, easier said than done? Without a doubt. Especially when we live in such close proximity with people. Especially when our kids play with their kids or our kids compete with their kids. It's fascinating that the scriptures today in the one another's of the 59, there are two of them that are listed right here, that we should be kind one to another and that we should forgive one another. When I think about this idea of us living together in such close proximity, it says in verse 32, it gives us a command. And it says that we should forgive one another. One command. Forgive one another. Again, easier said than done, but without a doubt, something that the scriptures are very plain spoken on, that it's a command for each of us to do. It says that we should not only forgive one another, but that we should forgive one another just as Christ forgave us. You see, the crazy part about it is what we did to Christ required, in order for him to forgive us, that he would die. And the truth of the matter is, for me to forgive you or for you to forgive me doesn't require any of us to die. Jesus already died. We don't have to die. We just have to be willing to forgive. The truth is, there's a reality. If you stop and think about the things that you harbor resentment or you harbor irritation or you harbor anger or you harbor whatever the case may be in your life against someone else, if you stop and think about it, really the reality of whatever that it is that caused that is really not that significant, because it's not that someone has to die over it. It pales in comparison, and yet the scriptures say that we should forgive one another as Christ forgives us. I always ask myself, or occasionally ask myself, how do I know if I've forgiven someone? Because, you know, there are times that you frustrate me. There are times that I frustrate you. There are times that I get frustrated with you and you get frustrated with me, maybe over something I say or something I do. I get frustrated with you over certain things. I get frustrated sometimes at the things that we'll post on Facebook from our church. Not that it's about our church, it's just that you're part of our church, and I'm flabbergasted sometimes at the things I read on Facebook. I'm flabbergasted sometimes at the way I see people do certain things. Sometimes I get frustrated at you because you maybe chose to worship at Gaylord Memorial Stadium on Saturday instead of First Baptist Church on Sunday. Maybe you chose to worship at T. Boone Pickens on Saturday so long that you couldn't get here on Sunday to worship at this place. But in reality, none of it requires death of me or death of you, and yet the scriptures say that Jesus, we should forgive like he did. But the reality is we don't have that great of a payment for each one of us. How do you know if you've forgiven? Well, I would tell you, for me, when I get in your presence, my blood pressure don't rise. And some of you will kind of smile and nod your head because you have those people that when they walk in the room, your blood pressure just starts to go up. That's a pretty good sign that you haven't forgiven them. That's a pretty good sign that you still have frustration with them. And yet the fact is, you say that we're supposed to forgive like Jesus did. Another good indicator is, can you pray for them? You know, it takes a little courage to pray for somebody that you're mad at. It's hard to pray blessings on somebody that you'd really like them to get the wrath. A pretty good sign of whether you have forgiven someone is, can you pray that God would bless their life? It's a pretty good indicator. That's the questions that I sometimes ask me when I'm frustrated. I think, hey, have I forgiven them? Have I moved on from that? Am I in a place that my blood pressure doesn't rise, that I can enjoy being around them? But, well, hey, if you know that's whether you have forgiven them or not, when do you forgive them? Well, it's real easy. The scriptures tell us the answer to that in verse 26. It says, before the sun goes down. Now, immediately, we know some of us have been unfaithful in that because some of us are offended at others of us, and we have been since we were in the third grade. We have been since we were juniors in high school. We have been since we worked at the same place. Not for days, but for years. For some of us, maybe even decades. Maybe not for some of us with others of us here, but maybe some of us with some of our family. And the scriptures give us one command: forgive one another. And to do it before the sun goes down. Why? Because we all know the longer it festers, the worse it gets. And we don't want to give the devil the opportunity. Now, in that command, in order to make that command to forgive one another, the scriptures also give us a couple of steps. The first step is verse 32. It says, and be kind and compassionate. When I think about forgiving one another and being kind and compassionate, that is what we need when we forgive, but we can't forget. You see, that most of us, when we talk about it, it's almost like forgiveness and forget just go together, that God forgives and God forgets. But I think it's interesting that the scriptures say, forgive as though Jesus forgave you, but be kind and compassionate. You know why? Because forgiveness is divine. But I also want to tell you this, so is forgetting. Forgetting is divine too. You see, most of us, if we're honest, we're a little better at forgiving than we are at forgetting. And we'll say we forgive, but we don't forget. And then whether it's a week from now, a month from now, or a year from now, the second that person does anything else that ruffles our feathers a little bit, we immediately go back a year or 5 years or 27 years because we didn't forget. You see, forgetting is as divine as forgiving. God forgives and forgets. I would tell you this, you need to know, you can't do either one of those without His help. You want to be a person who forgives and gives grace? You're going to need God's help. It goes against human nature. You want to be a person who not only forgives, but a person who forgets? You're going to need God's help because it goes against our human nature. William Barclay, one of the guys I like to read, he said this, every Christian might well pray God would teach them how to forget. Remember the scriptures say you have not because you ask not. Ask God. We ask God to help us forgive, but sometimes we really struggle with the forget, and it never occurs to us to say, God, help me just forget that. Do you think God can do that? Absolutely, God can do it. He does it himself. Just for what it's worth, some of you this morning need to know that because of your past, you remember something that God has already forgotten. You continue to worry about the things in your past, and you need to know this. God forgave it, but God also forgot it. You need to remember that God forgot, and you need to quit remembering. God forgave. God forgot. He moved on, and you need to do the same. In 2005, Pope John Paul II passed away. And the Catholic Church has a big process that they go through in order to pick the next pope. When they finally pick the pope, no matter what his name is, he gets to pick what's going to be his papal name. Pope John Paul's real name was not John Paul. They get to pick what they want their name to be. And so he chose to be John Paul II. When he passed away, they were going to pick the next pope. They decided on the next pope. In the meantime, there are guys out there who are what you call domain hoarders. Domain in the sense of domain names on the internet. Imagine if when the internet very first started, back when you used to get that boom, 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 boom. Remember that? And you'd dial it up and you'd connect. Imagine if you would have been the person at that time who realized how big the internet was going to be, and you had gone into GoDaddy.com or wherever, and you had set up a domain of www.ford.com or .chevy.com or mcdonalds.com or walmart.com. Imagine if you'd have had the foresight to do that. When Pope John Paul II died, there were domain hoarders that they started guessing at what they thought the next pope might pick his name. There was one guy who picked www.popebenedictxvi.com, popebenedictxvi.com. And when they picked the pope, that is the name he picked. That's the name the pope picked, and this guy had already made that domain name, and he owned it. He sold it on eBay. It was interesting, but he sold it for $16,000 that they paid him to be able to have that domain name of www.popebenedictxvi.com. There was another guy who had guessed as well that was a domain hoarder, and he had simply guessed www.benedictxvi.com. When he was contacted about selling it to the Catholic Church, his name was Rogers Cadenhead. When the Catholic Church contacted him about being able to have that domain name of Pope or BenedictXVI.com, he told him he could not sell it to him. I cannot sell it to you. He said, number one, I do not want to anger the 1 billion plus Catholics on the face of the earth and my grandmother. But he said, I will trade it to you. We can work out a deal. I'll not sell it, but I'll trade it. He said, I want three things. He said, I want one of those hats. Isn't it funny that he says one of those hats and we all know exactly what he's talking about? He said, number two, I want a one-night stay at the Vatican City Hotel. And number three, I want complete absolution for the third week of March, 1987. Now, complete absolution is something that they believe the Pope can give you a forgiveness and let things go, which I don't believe. The Pope can't do that. Only God forgives and gives complete absolution. It doesn't come from man. It comes from God. But the Catholics believe the Pope can do that. I don't know about you, but my first thought is, I wonder what he did the third week of March, 1987. You know what my second thought is? Why are you still worried about the third week of March, 1987? Just ask God to forgive you, because our God forgives and forgets. Some of you need to hear that this morning. Know that God has forgiven your past and he's forgotten it. All of us need to hear that we should forgive But we should forget as well when we think about being kind and compassionate. One of the guys I read says, kindness has learned the secret of looking outwards all the time, not inward. Kindness has learned the secret of looking outwards all the time, not inwards. But then the second step that they give us is in verse 31. He says, all bitterness, anger and wrath, shouting and slander must be removed from you along with all malice. Now, bitterness is just kind of a long-standing resentment, but bitterness usually leads to wrath. But then he says, we also must get rid of anger and wrath. I thought it was interesting. The Greek word for anger that's translated is thumos, T-H-U-M-O-S. Not that that's significant, but it really was significant in the idea of what thumos is, a word picture in the Greek, and it's a word picture of a straw fire. Think about anger and think about a straw fire. How does a straw fire usually work? With hay. Gone. It says get rid of that anger that just goes gone. Most of us would think of it like a temper. It says get rid of that kind of anger. And then it says get rid of wrath. The Greek word is orge. It's anger that's long-standing. Anger that has lived in you so long it's habitual. Get rid of that fast anger, but get rid of that anger that just lingers in you all the time. And then it says remove shouting and slander and malice. By the way, a lot of times the way that people know if we have anger and malice is we do a lot of shouting. I always counsel couples when I have couples come into the office, whether it's on the front side of marriage or the back side of marriage. I always tell them, there are times you're going to disagree. When you live in close proximity to someone for that long that you made that commitment for the rest of your life, you're going to have some battles. You're not always going to agree. But here's what I'm going to tell you. When you have those discussions that you know could get a little heated, discuss it over dinner at a restaurant. I tell them, go to Hobo Joe's and discuss that. You know why? Because most of us won't yell and scream and holler and act a fool if we're out at the restaurant in public. Most of us. Most of us will raise our voice at home that we would not do that in public for anything. So when you know you're going to have that heated discussion, hey, go somewhere in public and have that discussion. You'll handle things better. You'll both be glad you did when you're done. But we all have a tendency to shout when anger and wrath get the best of us. I read somebody this week that said, if you have to holler to make your point, it's not a very good point. And then it says, along with shouting and slander and malice, to get rid of those, but get rid of all malice, which is just a general term for evil. So we get the command of forgiving one another, and then he gives us steps. How do we forgive one another? Well, number one, be kind and compassionate. Kind and compassionate kicks in when you've forgiven, but you haven't forgotten. That's when you got to be kind and compassionate. Does that make sense to you? If you haven't forgotten, that's when the kindness and compassionate kicks in, that you've forgiven, but you haven't moved on, you haven't forgotten. That's when you have to be kind and compassionate. And then he says, remove bitterness, anger, and wrath. So he gives us a command, and then he gives us a couple of steps in order to be able to do it. But then I would say he also gives us a couple of reasons as to why it's so important that we forgive one another, that we be kind and compassionate, and that we remove that bitterness and anger. Number one, he says, in verse 30, and don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. The reason that we want to be kind and compassionate and forgiving and to get rid of all anger and malice and shouting and wrath in our lives is so that we don't grieve the Holy Spirit in our lives. Number one, reason number one, we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. But he says the second reason that we don't is because we were sealed by the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. You see, the fact is, if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're sealed. Your day of redemption, your day of being redeemed is set. It's sealed. It's set in concrete. It's done. So don't live in the past. Look forward to the future. Our redemption, our future is sealed. Look to the future, not to the past. He says if we'll be kind and compassionate and forgiving, we can live our lives looking to the future, not to the past, because we're already sealed, but also so that it doesn't grieve the Holy Spirit. The fact is, we can't lose our salvation. As Christ followers, our future is sealed. Our eternity is sealed. But I would tell you this, you can lose the joy of your salvation and the blessing of the Holy Spirit if you grieve the Holy Spirit in your life. And some of us don't have the joy of our salvation or the blessing of the Holy Spirit in our lives because we have grieved the Holy Spirit for so long, harboring resentment and harboring anger and harboring wrath and harboring malice against people that happened days or weeks or months or years ago. That really isn't life and death. It's not that big. No matter when it happened, you obviously survived it. So let it go. Move on. Be a person of grace. Forgive as Jesus forgave you. Look at what it says. It's interesting, but there's not a division in the scriptures here from the end of chapter 4 to the beginning of chapter 5. It just all flows together. Chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children. And walk in love as the Messiah also loved us and gave himself for us a sacrificial and fragrant offering of God. Do you realize that when you are forgiving and when you forget, that you are being just like Jesus? When you forgive, and when you forget, you're being just like Jesus. I hope that's your goal. That's my goal. Sometimes I mess it up and make you angry at me. Sometimes I say things I shouldn't say. Sometimes I shouldn't do. Sometimes you just see it written on my face. I'm not always like Jesus, although I want to be. But when we forgive and when we forget, when we are kind and when we are compassionate to each other, we are just like Jesus. Now, we're going to have our regular invitation that we normally do, but I want us to have just a short one first that's kind of a quick one. But I'm going to put a little pressure to you this morning. Are you a person who harbors resentment or anger or wrath, or malice against somebody out there? Maybe it's somebody in your family. Maybe it's somebody that you used to be married to. Maybe it's somebody you work with. Maybe it's somebody that you can just see their picture in the paper and you went to school with them a long time ago. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. I'd like to pray for you this morning. Would you just stand where you are? If you'd like to just put it in the past, you're tired of living with it. Somebody out there, I just want to pray for you. That's all I want to do this morning. Anybody else? This is your big chance. How could your life change if you were a person of joy and happiness that lived like you were sealed for the day of redemption every day to the future, not to the past? Anybody else? I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray for these men and women, boys and girls that have stood this morning. I thank you for their willingness to stand and say, hey, I got a place in my life that I'm just not like Jesus. Lord, we know it's supernatural to forgive. And dear Lord, we know it's supernatural to forget. I pray that you'd help them to be able to do both. Give them the strength to forgive and to forget. And in the process, help them to be kind and help them to be compassionate. Let people see the difference you make in our life. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Now, one more this morning. Some of you probably already picked up on it. But I talked about all of those people out there. All of those people out there. I wonder about all the people in here. You know, the key in here is that we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit, not as individuals, but not as a group either. One of the greatest examples that we have of Jesus to the culture outside of us is that we all get along. That's pretty hard to do, because we're all wired to be selfish. We're all wired to think me first. I'm going to tell you right up front, the Holy Spirit may lead you to go talk to them, but I'm not going to. The Holy Spirit will direct you what you need to do. But I am going to ask you this morning, if you got a problem with somebody here, would you stand? Because I'd like to pray for you too. I'm not going to ask you to go to them this morning, so don't get panic-stricken about that. You got a problem with somebody here? Thanks, Rance. Anybody else? Now, you need to know something. The Bible says, even in those verses, tell the truth. If you got a problem with somebody and you're sitting here lying, if you don't stand, that's lying. All of you who are sitting down are testifying to the fact, I got no problems with anybody here. Is that correct? I'll wait you out. Because I think there's more of us. We've lived in close proximity for way too long. We see each other all the time. But I don't want the Holy Spirit to be grieved in our church, because I think God has a work to do in our church. And I think God wants to use our church to do a work in our world. It's a small, small world, but it's the only one we got. The rest of you in here either have no issues or you're liars. That's what you're telling me. I know that's pretty blunt, but that's just what the Bible says. I'm just telling you what it says. Anybody else? Okay. For all of you truth tellers out there that are sitting down, you pray for this group that's standing up too. Because you got to admit, I sit in here, which means that it's possible you're the person they're standing up for. Ho, ho, ho. Now, for those of you that are standing up, I'm not going to have you go to them. That's between you and the Lord. He'll direct you. If you need to go talk to them, the Holy Spirit will direct you. But it is divine for us to forgive and forget. And I would say to each one of you, if I could look you in the eye, thanks. Thanks for being faithful. It's not easy. It's not easy. But I appreciate your faithfulness. Let me pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this group that's standing. I thank you for their willingness to live for the future and forget about the past. Lord, I pray that you give them strength, divine strength, that they would be able to forgive, to be kind, to be compassionate, to put away that anger and that wrath and that malice and that shouting, and to let them live for their day of redemption. Lord, I pray that you'd bless our church, and I pray for each of these that are standing, that you'd bless them for their obedience. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, all of us, go ahead and stand. Our band's going to be on their way up. We're going to have a pretty quick invitation this morning, so here's your invitation. If you were one that stood and you'd like to come and pray, or you'd like one of our staff to pray with you, we're here. If you're one that didn't and you'd like to come and pray, certainly you can do that this morning as well. But I also know maybe God dealt with somebody else in another way. Maybe God said to you this morning, it's time for you to join First Baptist Church and be a part of what I'm getting ready to do here. Maybe God said to you this morning, hey, Randy kept talking about that day of redemption, that you're sealed. And I don't know that I'd go to heaven if Jesus came back today. Did you know that today you can seal that? God will seal it. He'll put it in concrete for you today. If today's the day that you said, hey, I just want to give my life to Jesus. Whatever it is that God's led you to this morning, be faithful with that. Our staff will be here at the front. Theresa will be here as well if any of you ladies would like to pray with her. Josh, will you lead us, please?